Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you've had a lovely weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday the 14th of October. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from a Kent councillor and a GP about a village that's been left without a doctor's surgery for more than 2 years. We'll also hear from a school in Maidstone that's turned to fundraising after they were unable to cover the cost of new laptops for students. But first, we'll start today with an update from last Friday's top story. Two men are due in court, charged with murdering a man in Canterbury city centre. Nicola has the details for the Kent Online podcast.
Police were called to the High Street last Thursday night and found a 23-year-old man who'd suffered a stab wound. He was pronounced dead at the scene and four people were arrested. Two of them were released on bail over the weekend and now detectives have charged the other two with murder. 24-year-old Kamal Ibrahim from Longacre Close in Canterbury and Mohammed Hagar, who's 31 and doesn't have a permanent address, are also accused of having a bladed article. They're due to appear at Margate Magistrates Court.
Thanks, Nicola. Two other men who were arrested in connection with the incident have been released on bail pending further inquiries. Now, taking a look at another of our top stories today, it's feared people's health is being put at risk as a Kent village remains without a GP surgery more than 2 years after it closed. The medic care surgery on London Road in Tenham shut in May 2022 after the doctor there retired. It means more than 7,000 people now have to travel to Faversham or Sittingbourne for an appointment. Councillor Julian Speed says it's a real concern.
6 years ago, we had two GP surgeries in Tenham. We now have none. As you say, it's been a couple of years since this surgery moved to the Memorial Hospital in Sittingbourne, and residents really are fed up about this. It's really difficult to get an appointment there. It's really difficult to get there. If you drive, there's very limited parking. If you go by train, it's a long walk from the train station. The bus services are very poor. And it's very expensive to get there by taxi. So people really are struggling to get to see their GP. There's recently been a new housing development approved off Frognall Lane, and there was supposed to be a GP surgery included in that development. But what happened was the original developer sold off the land to another developer, but didn't sell off the bit of land that was allocated to the GP surgery, so that's sort of fallen between two stools, and that GP surgery is not coming forward now. You've got developments like Heisted Park coming up, that's being determined by the planning committee in November. Again, there's supposed to be a GP surgery as part of that, but it's one thing to say I'll build a building for a GP surgery, but it's another case altogether to actually staff it. And if you look at Swale, we've got one of the worst GP patient ratios in the entire country. It's one GP for about 1,700 residents. So it's really poor already, and it's going to get even worse with all these new houses coming on stream.
Hundreds of new homes are planned for the area. North Kent GP Dr. Julian Spinks says it could take some time to set up a new practice.
If you're coming completely new as a GP into Kent, the most likely thing you're going to do is to join an existing practice, and you can do that relatively quickly. However, if you want to set up a practice from scratch, there are a lot of hurdles you have to go through. You've got to be talking to the Integrated Care Board, the ICB, about whether there's a need for GPs in the area, because you'll need some approval to be able to do that. You have to come to something called the performers list as well. And then you've got to look for premises. And whereas some years ago, the majority of GP practices were actually in people's houses, that does not suit modern general practice. You do need to have premises which are approved by both the NHS and the Care Quality Commission. All of these things produce major hurdles in trying to get in and setting up a new practice.
And I guess that all takes time, doesn't it? In terms of time frame, how long can it take for one of those new GPs setting up a new practice? How long can that take them?
I think that if you've already got premises and everything else set up, it could be a few months. But if you're going to do a new purpose-built practice, by the time you've gone through all those hoops, you've raised the finance and done everything else, you're into a couple of years to be able to achieve that. And that's why you're not seeing many completely new practices set up. Most of the new buildings are from parts of existing practices, or possibly because of merging of practices.
You mentioned merging of practices there. I know we spoke a little bit about amalgamation. Can you just talk to me a little bit about that as well?
There is a problem in general practice with smaller practices, because it is difficult for them to actually stay financially viable. And so what is tending to happen is that practices are merging. It means that the number of practices is going down, but it does give a slightly false picture in the sense that often you'll find the individual surgeries are still there. It's just that the actual organizations running them reduce. That's not the same as something where you've got a practice which is closed completely, leaving a population unserved.
Let's talk a little bit about Swale in particular. I know you've got a practice in High Wade. It's got one of the worst GP ratios in the country. Firstly, why is that? And what problems does that actually bring for new GPs looking to come into the area?
Kent and Medway as a whole have got some of the largest list sizes. But it's particularly a problem in Medway and Swale has the highest numbers. It is very easy to be in a downward spiral when it comes to GP numbers. And that can be because a GP leaves for very reasonable reasons, such as retirement. But then someone coming in will take a look and say, well, that list size is large and I could go somewhere else and do less work. Because in general, the amount of workload depends on the number of patients you're having to look after. So if that person doesn't join, then gradually you'll find the number of GPs in an area going down. And it's a big challenge for those of us, both in general practice and the NHS as a whole, to try and return that situation so that we can make it an attractive proposition for GPs to join. There is some work being done, and the government has offered some funding for newly qualified GPs to join primary care networks. But that's only going to be a small contribution in an area such as Swale.
Kent Online News.
A man's been arrested after three men suffered stab wounds at a pub near Maidstone. It happened at the Hot Pole Inn, not far from Nettlestead, in the early hours of yesterday. None of the injuries are thought to be life-threatening. A 42-year-old has been detained on suspicion of a public order offence. A Gillingham man has been sent back to prison after stealing from Sainsbury's and Morrison's. Lewis O'Brien was released last month and targeted a store in Herne Bay just 6 days later. The 34-year-old from Canterbury Street has been locked up for 8 weeks and ordered to pay compensation. A Margate man's admitted downloading indecent images after being caught by an undercover police officer. Finlay McMichael sent links to an officer as part of a sting operation. The 25-year-old from Dalby Square in Cliftonville is due to be sentenced at Canterbury Crown Court. A terminally ill man says he's hoping to stay alive long enough to reunite with his wife, who's in prison following a plot to have him murdered. Ray Weatherall was lucky to survive after the daughter of his wife's secret partner shot him at Sandwich Marina. He's suffering from brain cancer and says he forgives Hayley Weatherall for her involvement. She's due to be released in 9 years' time. An Ashford man's been sent to prison after sending emojis and a Facebook friend request to his former partner. Peter Osman had been banned from contacting the man after previously being convicted of stalking. The 54-year-old, who used to live on the street in Willsborough, has been locked up for a year.
Kent Online News.
A dog's been seized by police after a fatal attack in Chatham. It's understood the pet escaped from a garden before mauling a chihuahua in Larkspur Road. Officers say the owner of the Staffy has been issued with a community protection warning, although it's unclear if the dog has been returned. A cargo ship carrying potentially explosive materials is still stranded off the Kent coast. Around 20,000 tonnes of ammonium nitrate is on board the Ruby, which has come from Russia. It was due to be in Malta last week but suffered damage soon after leaving the port in August. The mum of a man found dead in a supermarket car park in Margate more than 2 years ago says she still has unanswered questions. Max Lintott was discovered near Morrison's and a coroner ruled the 49-year-old had died of heart failure. Gloria Lintott is concerned CCTV wasn't checked in time and his death should have been treated as suspicious. Police say a thorough investigation was carried out which found no signs of or injuries consistent with a struggle.
Kent Online News.
A former office block in Folkestone is set to be turned into homes after plans were approved. The seven-storey Saga building in Middleburg Square will be transformed into more than 80 homes. It's the second time the idea has been given the go-ahead after the original planning permission expired. A former research centre in Sittingbourne is going up for auction. The Broadoak Enterprise site near the Kent Science Park could fetch more than £850,000. Bidding is due to end on November the 1st. People living in part of Swanscombe are calling for a derelict block of flats to be knocked down as soon soon as possible. The apartments on Leonard Avenue have been listed for demolition since 2022, as a review found it would be cheaper than carrying out repairs. It's been held up because one resident is refusing to move. Neighbours say the boarded up building is an eyesore and they want it turned into a green space instead. Controversial plans for 170 homes in part of Ashford have been given the go-ahead. It's been 2 years since the ideas for the former mineral depot site in Kennington were first put forward. It's the second phase of the larger Conningbrook Lakes development, not far from the Julie Rose Athletic Stadium.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone school is having to raise £10,000 after all of their laptops suddenly died. The 30 Chromebooks stopped receiving updates from Google just before the start of the new term, making them redundant. Their budget won't stretch to cover the tech, leaving pupils with just iPads to use. Peter Haynes is the computing lead at Northborough Juniors.
In July of this year, so just before the school academic year finished, all of our Chromebooks suddenly died. What happened was they became legacy devices where they were so old that Google wouldn't allow them to be updated, so they wouldn't even log in. We do have another selection of laptops at school, but they're quite old as well. So our children have suddenly got iPads only. Now, iPads are great for technology, they're great for research, but they're not really giving children the computing skills that they need. We'd love to have an ICT suite at school, but because of the building structure that we have and the fact that there's no space, we could never have an ICT suite. So our children are reliant on these laptops. Unfortunately, there was no budget for this. Suddenly we were down about £10,000 we needed to find from somewhere. And there haven't been any grants available for funds for this particular infrastructure project. So we're going to have to crowdfund it ourselves, really, as we go through. So we're trying to do a big fundraising push this year at Northborough.
Yeah, it's an awful lot of money, £10,000. And I'm sure some people would be quite surprised at the fact that you are having to do this fundraising and that the budget won't stretch to cover the cost of new laptops.
Yeah, I mean, school funding's been very, very tight. And with everything being more expensive, I mean, our gas bill and our electric bill has gone through the roof as it is. You know, our building is... some parts of it are not in great repair anyway, but we are just keeping those going. But, you know, this is something that the children need to have and we need to find a way to have it. So, you know, if there were grants available, we'd have applied, but there are none specific for this particular technology need this year. They do change, they do rotate, but this year there's nothing available and, you know, budgets are already stretched. So we just couldn't find that extra capital, which was a shame, really.
And how important is it for the children to have those laptops? You know, do you use it to help with learning? Is it like a reward to go on the laptop? Can you just explain how they're actually used?
Well, we actually teach with the computing sessions. We actually teach those real life skills they need. So we teach things like spreadsheets. We teach a lot of coding. We teach them web development. We teach e-safety is a particular priority at our school. We're going for the 360 Safe Award this year. So it's important that we have laptops that are safe. And the reason we use the laptops more than anything is they have individual logins, which means it's secure as possible. If when we use our iPads, they have generic logins that aren't as e-safe as they could be. So our laptops are really important for us. But we teach the real life skills they're going to need. So we teach word processing, we teach those things that they need. So and also in the real world, they'll use a laptop more than an iPad. You know, an iPad might be a tool they'll take with them for sort of extra notes and things, but they'll use a laptop and they're missing out on those keyboard skills. So particularly those year three children that have come up from our partner infant school, they don't yet have the key skills they need. And, you know, just logging on can be, you know, a lesson in itself, really, just how to get the typing skills. So, yeah, we need those touch typing skills to get as good as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned that school budgets are really tight. This is something we've been hearing for quite a number of years now. Obviously, we've got a new government. Are you hoping things might change and you might get a little bit more funding in general for stuff like this?
I think so, yeah. I mean, we've got the teachers' pay increase has just come in. And that will stretch our budget even further, although that has been promised that it won't be ring fenced. There will be more capital available for that. But yeah, I mean, we found for years and years that we just have more and more things going wrong as buildings get older, as technology gets older, because laptops need to be replaced every few years anyway, because, you know, everything gets a bit slower. But we've just found that, yeah, there is a bit of a squeeze on the budget. And this is just an extra thing we have to find money for, really. So, yeah, we are finding as a profession, we're always getting squeezed for money. And there isn't enough at the moment.
Meta is being urged to take action after two Kent mums lost precious photos when their social media accounts were hacked. Sharon Wignall from South Darrenth has terminal cancer and was hoping to pass her Instagram account on to her daughter, while Louisa Tickner from West Kingsdown has suffered a similar issue with her Facebook and Insta. We've asked Meta for a comment. As the grading system for schools is phased out, it's been revealed more than 8 in 10 primaries in Kent are currently good or outstanding. 372 out of the 460 are in the top two brackets, with none rated inadequate by Ofsted. 31 are said to require improvement. There are calls for a crackdown on e-scooters in Folkestone amid fears someone will be hurt. Some people in the town are particularly worried about the Lees, where bikes, skateboards and rollerblades are already banned. Police insist they patrol the town regularly and stop and speak to any riders.
Kent Online News.
South Eastern have introduced a new autumn timetable to try to prevent delays caused by leaves on the line. Some morning trains will leave a bit earlier, so drivers have more time to adjust their speed and keep services running to schedule. Here's Lewis. He's a train driver based in Faversham.
So as a driver, leaf fall has always been a time when people joke about leaves on the line. But for us, it's very serious. We have to change our driving style to adapt for the changing conditions. So as a driver, we are looking at about braking earlier, thinking about what the additional conditions are, loads on the train, are there any leaves around? So we're constantly looking at the condition of the track to consider, will we need additional times for stopping? So the risks of not adapting to the conditions would mean we possibly couldn't stop at a signal or at a station, which obviously would inconvenience our customers.
Plans have been put forward to double the number of boot fairs held on land in Southfleet. Organisers of the Farm Boys Country Book Sale want to run 28 a year rather than the current 14. It's expected to be decided next week. An 18-year-old singer from Broadstairs is through to the semi-finals of The Voice. Olivia Rogers performed an ABBA song in the first round and was chosen by McFly's Tom Fletcher and Danny Jones. She's now part of their top three artists.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first, and the Gillingham captain says the team need to bounce back quickly after three defeats in a row in League Two. Saturday's 2-1 loss to Accrington Stanley means they've dropped to fifth in the table. Max Emmer's keen for a quick improvement.
It's not a good dressing room to be in at the moment, with three losses on the bounce. But there's big enough characters within the squad and staff to get us where we want to get to. So we can't keep saying it, we've got to start doing it, but we've got to bounce back quickly. Certainly, I mean, the game plan was correct. It's just us not delivering, like you said. Just moments of quality that we've been lacking the last three games. And then just get punished. I think we got two or three big chances in the first half. Need to kill teams off when you get them. And then obviously we get ourselves in a good position just after half time, and then shoot ourselves in the foot, and then we go and lose the game, which we can't do. Not at home, for sure. At the end of the day, it's 11v11, stay with your men or whatever it is. But no, we've gone to try and win the game, and we've been caught out. But like I said, we've lacked many moments of quality in that final third and in the opponent's half, which we're just letting teams off too easily at the moment. The quality's not there, like I've said a few times now, but we've got to get that right for us to win games.
It's been quite frustrating out there today, Max. Yeah. It's sort of first half, the players going down. Yeah. I think one challenge you made, the lad went down. Quite happy with it. It's hard to get a sort of fluid going today.
Yeah, I think they've obviously come here and sort of set out their stall in terms of waste time, slow the game down, stop the momentum of the game. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they've got the job done. So it's frustrating on our behalf, but it's making sure, like I've said before, that we overcome those challenges in games, because every game's going to be different, so it's just making sure we do it.
And the manager said, as a group, got to get miles better. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, for sure. I think we were on a good sort of trajectory going for the first, whatever amount of games, 8-9 games, whatever it was, and then we've sort of blipped as of late. But it's just making sure that as the season sort of develops and now teams have got footage of 10-11 games, they know what to do. Just making sure that we're better, and that's in all departments. That's not just going forward, that's defensively as well.
Will you relish going to Bradford now? Mm-hmm. Maybe a different kind of challenge, one that might suit you better?
Yeah, I mean, we look forward to every game, but it's just making sure we go there with the right game plan but actually delivering it. And having those moments of quality, like I keep saying. I think the service, everything, that's not service into a box, that's service to wide players, that's everything. Getting on the ball, picking the right passes, so just got them up there. Yeah.
And here's what manager Mark Bonner has to say.
You can imagine we're as angry or frustrated as you could imagine we would be losing late, but probably the team that was going to win it was them. We gave them too many chances second half. Way too easy to create a chance against. The second goal's a disgrace from us. It's a disgrace. It's a free kick deep in the pitch and we don't head it. And then we're so easy to work through. And if you look back at the earliest part of the season where we were so hard to create a chance against, now we're giving up goals that are Grimsby ran all the way through the middle of the pitch, Crewe ran all the way through us, soft, too easy to break, too open in the games. And so you try and chase it, but if you leave yourself that vulnerable and you don't defend really, really simple moments, you give a team a chance. So they had too many chances in the second half. They're playing a way that can make it quite a chaotic game, quite a stretched game, as we'd said. So it's no shock. There's quite a lot of chances at both ends. But in the end, they chased in the end away. Like when we go one up here, you wouldn't expect us to be as easy to play against. And once we went one up and we start the second half well and scored a brilliant goal, but the period after that, we just let a team in the game and don't take control of it. Like we're just happy our game might be done now because we're one up. It's absolutely nonsense. Play to win the game, play to score the next goal, play with some intensity and some character and keep going. But we haven't done it well enough again. And so yeah, there's as much work to do with this team in terms of mentality and organisation and structure as I thought there was when we were winning games, and the last week's proved it. The level's got to go up miles, the personality's got to improve miles, the aggression in the game and our organisation when it goes against us, got to be so much better. And we've had good moments, but we haven't had enough. We haven't had enough quality moments. We have a great chance first half to go 1-0 up. We score a really good goal second half. But we've waited weeks to play a second half towards that end and get some momentum. And we don't create any in the second half. And we change the shape and we change the team as the game goes on to try and chase the win. But at the same time, like we just didn't find anywhere near enough quality and enough impact. And yeah, level's got to go up. Lads have let themselves down in the last few weeks with the level that they're hitting because it's been average, and average won't be good enough for us.
Staying with football, and Maidstone United and Tunbridge Angels are in the draw for the first round proper of the FA Cup later. The Stones beat Ebbsfleet at the weekend, while Tunbridge were 1-0 winners over Cray Wanderers. They join Gillingham, who enter the competition at this stage. The draw takes place at 7 tonight. Briefly in ice hockey, the Kent's Invicta Dynamos have had mixed results over the weekend. They beat Cardiff Fire 9-2 away from home on Saturday, but lost 3-2 away at Swindon Wildcats last night. And in the superbikes, Kyle Ride has won the British Superbike Championship after a dramatic final race at Brands Hatch. His narrow victory meant he finished 1 point ahead of Tommy Bridwell in the standings. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.